Welcome to the Loaded Goat. I'm Aaron.
I'm Chris. No, I'm today Cousin Virgil. Cousin Chris.
Can you do a Cousin Virgil?
I just meant to pet him. I didn't mean to squeeze their heads off.
You're implying that he's Lenny from Mice and Men? I mean, is that what you're saying?
I thought I'd give it a try. I don't know. Is that appropriate to do?
I must say, I don't like this episode.
Yeah, it's a bad one.
It's a bad one. And it's got an Academy Award nominee playing Cousin Virgil. I mean, Michael J. Pollard was a pretty well regarded actor throughout his career. I mean, he mostly played offbeat weird characters, and this character is offbeat and weird.
I couldn't figure I've got 2 points from a starting place. I couldn't figure out how old Virgil was. So, you know, he looked young in the face. He had a lot of chest hair that was just creeping out of the top of his shirt. So it made me think that he was like 25, but he acted more like he was 13. So I couldn't quite figure that piece out. And then the other part that I struggled with is I just finished this beautiful book called Winter Counts. And it's like a Native American South Dakota murder mystery book. And the main character is this amazing like hero protagonist named Virgil, and I just finished that book 2 days ago. I was really expecting Cousin Virgil to be Virgil from Winter Counts,
or it could have been like Virgil Tibbs from In the Heat of the Night, where he's like, they call me Mr. Tibbs, but really he's Cousin Virgil. And Cousin Virgil, I don't know if I'm leaving Cousin Virgil alone with my pets or my children.
No, he's not invited to the family reunion for sure.
He's not invited. I'm not bringing Cousin Virgil to anything. I mean, he comes across, I mean, it's almost like he makes a mistake and then he grins. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, he kind of reminds me of, I mean, you could have switched him out with, what's the guy from Breaking Bad in the final couple of seasons? The one that ends up being the full-blown psychopath that holds Jesse prisoner?
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought the character looked a lot like Dexter, like Michael C. Hall. Yeah. Like, he's got the same face, and you're right, it's the gross, weird smile.
It just weirds you out. And Andy, who typically in this episode, and we'll dive in, but Andy typically has patience with oddballs and characters, and he does not like this guy at all.
No, there's some more backstory here that we didn't learn about for sure.
There has to be. So let's dive in. This episode aired on April 30th, 1962. We open with Andy coming into the courthouse and finding Barney taking a nap. This feels like we had, you know, the writers and the directors said, we've got two to three minutes we need to fill.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun.
I love this prank. I'd never thought about that.
I've never thought about it either. It's great. So basically, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you've watched the episode before, but he pulls the blanket over Barney's head and then locks the blanket, tucks the blanket under the foots on the bench. And then he slams the door and Barney finds himself trapped under the blanket.
Hilarious. He's kicking hooting and hollering.
Yeah. And then Andy comes in and mocks Barney for working too hard and says he should take some time off. I mean, the whole thing is just so condescending. But then Barney walks up with a letter asking if he can hire his cousin Virgil from New Jersey, who's coming in for a couple of days. Andy asks if cousin Virgil is still awkward and clumsy. And Barney says he's changed, but he's not sure. But Barney's not so sure that that's happened. Which is interesting because Andy and Barney are supposed to be cousins too. So does that make Andy?
No, because this is the mother side, the sensitive.
Oh, right. So some people have referred to, I don't think it's a term used anymore, but it's called dog kin.
Oh, I don't know that.
When you're relatives with somebody, when you're basically connected to somebody, you're both relatives with somebody, but you're not actually related.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like us.
We've got a we share a mutual.
We both have relatives, but we're not necessarily related.
No, we don't share.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, I just had to make sure of that before we moved on. So we cut to Andy and Barney waiting for the bus to arrive. The bus pulls up, but Virgil does not get off. It turns out that he's not on the bus, and they go looking for him. And the bus driver is actually played by Rance Howard, who's Ron Howard's father.
Oh, interesting. The only thing I have to say about this is they're standing way too close to the bus door. People who are getting off have to go around it. They need to step back.
Well, that the bus situation there is crazy. You got people rushing onto the bus before people get off. I mean, it's just chaos. It's just chaos.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Have you ever been on a Greyhound? That's a lot what it's like.
Is it?
Yeah, there's no order.
Well, I mean, I've been on buses. You generally, it's understood. You let people get off before you get on. That's generally the social compact of all mass transportation.
The social compact of all mass transportation is the name of a high school punk band.
That probably would. That'd be a good name for a high school punk band. So the patrol car pulls up on Virgil and he's walking down a dirt road. This reminds me of the time when you and I were supposed to record a podcast, but I couldn't find you because you were walking down the GW Parkway.
Yeah, I was just trying to act like Virgil. I think he looks like Grimace here. He's like pouting, he's walking down the street. It's actually is very similar to you finding me on the side of the road.
You don't have a Virgil thing going on. You were just walking down the road. I mean, this is just weird. He's just putzing along. And it turns out he got off the bus to buy Barney a postcard, and then he walked a half a mile to mail the card to Barney, and the bus left him. And the whole idea is ridiculous, and Andy points out that he's going to arrive way before the postcard does, even after missing the bus.
Chaos.
It just makes no sense.
He's not to be trusted. He was going to put anthrax on that postcard, but it would be a postcard, so it wouldn't really work, you know?
Oh, no. I mean, if Cousin Virgil is not going to be the Unabomber or anything like that. Cousin Virgil is going to be, if he tries to, he will be one of those people that gets arrested pretty fast. Because Cousin Florida Virgil man. Is not some criminal master.
He's the Florida man from the
media. He is the Florida man. So, Virgil, as I mentioned, is played by Michael J. Pollard, who is best remembered for playing C.W. Moss and Bonnie and Clyde. He actually earned an Oscar nomination for that role, but he was actually born in New Jersey, just like Cousin Virgil.
Oh.
At the Taylor household, Barney and Virgil show up for dinner in salt and pepper suits.
That was cute. Yeah. I liked that.
Yeah. Virgil has brought cards to do a trick.
This is a great scene.
Well, they're all just terror. So it's basically pick a card. I'll put the card back in the deck and I'll show you what your card was. I'll pull your card out. It's the Ace of Spades, but Virgil drops all the cards and it reveals that all the cards were the Ace of Spades. It reminds me of the movie Live and Let Die. Have you seen that James Bond movie?
No, which Bond is it?
It's the one, it's a Roger Moore one.
Oh, no, I haven't seen any Roger Moores.
Well, it's really funny because Jane Seymour is this, it's been a long time, but I think she's supposed to be like a voodoo princess or something like that, or a tarot. She's a true believer in tarot cards. And so James Bond says, you're a believer in this. You should pick the card and it says what we will be. And she picks a card and it says, we're the lovers. And so they begin to go to the bedroom. James Bond throws all the cards down. All the cards were the lovers.
Oh, so really? It's
just, yeah. I mean, the Roger Moore movies are just so much funnier than any of the Daniel Craig movies. I mean, Daniel Craig was so serious and Roger Moore was just always pretty amusing.
That's great.
Yeah. So Aunt B comes out with a meatloaf, and long story short,
that's a meatloaf?
I thought it was a meatloaf.
I don't know. I had to say that was so much food. I had decided that was like a huge rump roast, or
maybe it is a rump roast.
The biggest cow's backstrap or something like that.
Yeah. It was a huge chunk of meat. And to make a long story short, Virgil knocks it all over Andy.
Reaching for the butter.
And later Barney leaves and they ask where Virgil is.
Quickly, when they're standing up though, Andy is wearing his uniform with no stains on it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I believe that suit is probably all like polyester 1950s, 60s plastic. So maybe it just slid right off, but I don't know.
It's possible. Or it could just be a goof. not, it could just be something they did not anticipate that they would ever be called to the carpet for, because they figured television would still be just kind of that grainy black and white where no one would know.
I'd like to see the carpet, see if it has stains on it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you were, that's a project I'm going to give you that you're never going to do.
I'm on it.
Yeah. Boss. So Opie says Virgil is pulling the squad car up to pick Barney up. But of course, Virgil puts it in reverse and crashes into the garage. Andy is really harsh. He says that boy has got to go.
And we go to commercial. Here's the perfect serial killer smile, right?
He gets out. I wrecked your car, and you know, you got a big grin on, you got a creepy smile on your face.
Yeah.
Just cut that. After the break, we are at the jail and Barney is sweeping.
Andy's smoking, right?
Andy, not at this point.
Okay.
Virgil offers to help and accidentally breaks a glass panel covering a shelf. Barney then just has had enough. He asks Virgil to clean the jail cell keys with some sandpaper. And Andy comes
in. Weird request.
I've never heard of cleaning keys. I mean, I guess you do clean. You might want to wipe your keys down if they've been in something, but I've never heard of sanding down keys.
No.
Andy comes in, sees the mess of glass. He says he wants Virgil out of the jail. And he's right, I think. I mean, he's, you know, Virgil's got problems.
Yeah, for sure.
So the alarm clock goes off for Otis because he has a job interview that day. And Virgil comes back, which is just hilarious. I'm going to go arrest myself for public drunkenness the night before. And then I'm going to go on a job interview. I kept thinking in my head,
like, you know, he always has an excuse that he got locked and like, wasn't his fault. It was like his excuse is that he's in jail. So like that actually doesn't work, but
no.
Good bet.
So Virgil comes back with the keys and they are clean, very clean. And Virgil walks out of the room and he's proud of himself. It turns out he has filed down the teeth on the keys. And which I just is just insane.
What
and
Virgil strength? Says, what huh? strength?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you would just, he was only gone for like 2 minutes. I mean, you would have thought it would have, I mean, yeah. That's some,
he had some belt grinder in the back
that he's sanding with. And Virgil says he's sorry. And Barney asks if he can do anything right. And Opie comes in with some amazing wood carvings of a cowboy and a dog. And Andy is looking for, you know, trying to figure out a way to get Otis out of the cell. And he tells his dad that Virgil made them. And then Andy sends Opie along and asks, how can Virgil be so accident prone, but do such great work? And Virgil basically says he gets nervous when people are watching him.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah.
Why do you usually think this is a pre-recorded podcast?
Yeah, we don't do it live. And then, I mean, the other thing is like, yeah, I get nervous when people watch me, but when I make a mistake or I screw something up, I don't look at people with a big and go, sorry, and with a big grin on my face.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that'll get you. That's not appreciated. So Andy tells Virgil to get Otis out of the cell and that no one will watch him. And we cut to Barney. He's about to hook the car, hook a chain up to the back of the Otis's, the back window bars of Otis's cell. And then we cut back to Andy smoking in the back room. Virgil comes in, says he's done. He's just taken the door off the hinges. But Otis gets going. He's on his way to his interview, but Barney never gets the message. He pulls the back bars of the window off. And Andy says, congratulations, Barney, you did it again. And we go to commercial.
It runs in the family, which we'll get to in a second. But I brought up the bed earlier because Andy's sitting there smoking. And then he puts out the cigarette on the duvet. He doesn't have an ashtray. You don't see it when he stands up.
Huh. I didn't catch that. In the epilogue, they see Virgil off. And Barney carries on about how he's so different from Virgil. And then he steps in the road and is almost hit by a car. As Barney yells at the driver, Andy says, that's telling him, Virgil.
It is. You know, the thing that I got distracted on the epilogue, this bus is going the same direction. So Virgil didn't change. He got on the direction the same way. The bus dropping him off was to Macon, M-A-C-O-N, and the bus taking him away was to Macon. So unless it was an out and back, which I really doubt it was, he's going the wrong direction. He's going to end up in Florida.
Maybe he has to do a connector.
Bye, Virgil. Bye.
A goof. Yeah. So cousin Virgil actually does have a recipe in the Mayberry cookbook, and this one's pretty hard to mess up. The hardest thing you have to do is chop up an onion.
Oh, what is it?
It's a veggie casserole.
Oh, okay.
Of course, I mean, you do have to put it in the stove, so that can be
problematic. That's where Virgil would burn the house down.
Yeah, that's a good point. He would probably do that. So I tried to get a Star Trek fan club member or a Star Trek expert on this show, and all of them thought doing this podcast was beneath them because
I also had one, but he got COVID.
Yeah, is he okay? Is he doing all right?
I still haven't asked. He's fine.
Okay.
it's his second time around, you know. So.
Oh, he's had COVID twice?
Yeah, he's a double jeopardy.
I know a few COVID two timers. It seems like it's happening more, especially
with this. Not good work if you get it.
No. So the reason I wanted to do this is because there's the episode of Star Trek called Miri, which is the 8th episode of the first season, and they go to a place. The Enterprise crew goes to a place that is an exact replica of Earth, and they land, and it is a dystopian world that looks like an abandoned version of Mayberry. It's actually the back set of Desilu, and it's the Mayberry set, and Kim Darby plays Miri, and the society, it turns out the society has been wiped out by a plague that kills adults. And so some of the kids have never grown up. This feels like
a little too parallel to our existence.
Well, it feels like not only is there a connection to Mayberry, it feels like Stephen King would have watched this and said, you know what? I'm going to have this take place in Iowa and call it Children of the Corn. Some of the kids have never grown up. If you do, you get this plague and it kills you. But the leader of the kids is played by Michael J. Pollard. And so there was this theory circling around that on the internet, and I mean, just because it was on the internet doesn't mean it's valid, that maybe Mayberry was actually the precursor world to this the precursor society to this dystopian world that the Enterprise crew comes on.
Oh, deep makes you think, doesn't it?
I think the whole thing is silly. I did think it was hilarious. I did reach out to people. They were like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And I'm like, you're a Trekkie. I don't understand. I mean, I'm like, people are always talking about Star Trek fan fiction and all kinds of things. But I throw out this theory and they're like, oh, that's ridiculous.
One too many.
Yeah, the leader of the kids is played by Michael J. Pollard. And he actually has kind of a cousin Virgil-like vibe to him.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
So you could see, what if cousin Virgil,
Bizarro Virgil,
and he ended up becoming a cult leader.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm into it.
Yeah. Then again, it could just be use of the same set and the same actor, which is probably what it was.
Yeah, probably.
How many whistles would you give this?
So I'm torn on this one. This falls into the category of dumb episodes, but they were super. But it was super fun to talk about. So I would put it at a 4. But I enjoyed this. I'm assuming our readers are at the edge, or our listeners are at the edge of their seats. So I'd give it a 6.
I'm going to give it a 5. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I enjoyed talking about it too. I hope Andy Griffith fans aren't that are listening to this are because they. I mean, I've heard people say, I love them all. And I suppose there is a feeling of that, but I mean, this is just one that I just don't, I'm not crazy about.
Yeah, for sure.
So any final thoughts?
No, but I'll smile at you if you break something.
That would just creep me out. So you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And if you're there and think about it, please subscribe. Also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Loaded Goat Pod. And if you have any questions, please go to loadedgoat.net and submit one. Next up is Deputy Otis. And until then, Christopher, be careful when you clean your keys.
Okay. I gotta not lose them first.